And good morning, everybody. Hope you guys are doing well. If you have your Bibles, open up to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, we're going to be in verses 6 and 7 today. And hey, I want to say welcome to our online audience this morning. For those of you who are worshiping at home still because of the coronavirus, we're so glad to be able to have you with us in this way virtually this morning. So thank you for participating in worship with us. Hopefully soon we will all be together again. We had a great service in our 9 o'clock service this morning, and looking forward to this 11 o'clock service as well. So, hey, you know, obviously things are different than whatever normal is these days. This is not normal, I guess, or maybe it is. I don't know, right? But one thing's for sure, we have had to adjust a lot in the way we do things because of the coronavirus. And one of the things we've had to adjust this year was VBS, or Vacation Bible School. But I want to say a big, big thank you to our Next Gen ministry, Pastor Jonathan, and all the VBS team, because they put on the best virtual VBS that I've ever seen. It may be the only one I've ever seen, but still, what a great virtual VBS we had this week. Our kids had a blast. I know I've heard from parents, it was just such a success, and it was so well done. So can we give our next gen VBS team a hand? Yeah. Awesome job, guys. Thank you so much for everybody who worked so hard in making that a great success for our kids and keeping them plugged in, even though they had to do it at home this year. All right, well, we are in our series called Guardrails. We're talking about our core values here at Kernan. We have five new core values that are keeping us in line and on the road and on track with our vision that we believe God has given us to pursue over the next 5 years, our Kernan 2025 vision. If you're unfamiliar with anything I'm talking about right now, you can go on our website, kernanchurch.com, and you can see the vision sermons that I've already preached and a little bit about who we believe God is leading us to be. We have launched a new five-year vision, a new five-year plan here at Kernan to pursue over the next 5 years, and we believe that these core values are going to be what actually keeps us on that road pursuing those goals that God has given us. So today we're going to be in Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. I'll read this and then pray for us. Paul said to the church at Philippi in verse 6, of chapter 4, he says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." All right, let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for your grace and your love, that you sent your Son to die in our place, that we have access to you, to communicate to you through prayer. So Lord, we want to make our request known to you today. We want to speak to you today, but most of all, we want you to speak to us. And I pray that you would do that through your word, draw us to yourself. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, our new vision here at the church states that we exist to make disciples who worship with authenticity, walk in community, and witness as we go. So, that means that we want to become this kind of church that does those three things, right? All in an effort to make disciples that Jesus commanded us in the Great Commission. We want to become this kind of church and be defined by these characteristics by the year 2025. But if you've ever been driving on a road, you see the guardrails on the side of the road, and those are there for those of us who maybe drift off to sleep or kind of drive or swerve off when we're not paying attention. They kind of keep you on the road, and that's what we've entitled these core values here over the next 5 years, these five core values. We believe that if we live out the truths of these core values, that they will act as guardrails on this path to 2025, that they will keep us in line and that if we truly live them out and believe them deeply in our hearts, that they will keep us on the right road, going in the right direction. So the first guardrail or the first core value that we talked about was we keep the gospel first. That's the number one thing. We keep the gospel first here at Kernan. And the second one we discussed last week is we want to know what the Bible says and means. So we keep the gospel first above any other issue or topic, but we also want to know what the scriptures actually say. What do they say and what do they mean? That's a high, high value and priority here at Kernan moving forward. But this week we turn to our third core value, and it is we pray frequently and specifically. We pray frequently and specifically. So we want to be a church that prays. We want to be a praying people of God. But I believe to fully understand the depth of this statement, I don't want this to just be a sentence that we say or memorize. I think we need to understand the depth of this statement and how we really value it. I think to do that, it's going to be helpful for us today to basically answer three questions. Three questions that pertain to understanding this on a deeper level, and Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, our main verse today, will help us understand this on a deeper level. So the three questions I want us to ask today are this. Number one, what is prayer? Number two, how often should we pray? And number three, what should we pray about? So that's what we're going to talk about. What is prayer, right? How often should we pray? And what should we actually talk to God about or pray about? All right, well, number one, let's answer this question. What is prayer? Now, the answer may seem obvious, but I think when you really think about it, it's pretty profound. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, again, Paul said, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." Let your requests be made known to God. So Paul tells us here that we should tell God, we should make known to God the request we have in life. Now, we're going to talk a little bit later about the content of our prayers, but for now, I want us to think about what is actually happening. What is actually happening when we pray? And I want us to be amazed at how awesome it is that we are even allowed to talk to God, that we even have that ability, that we can talk to God. So let's get back to the question, what is prayer? Well, the short answer is prayer is talking to God. It's that simple in a way, right? It's talking to God. It's communicating to Him and talking to Him about whatever's on your mind. So I want us to talk, though, about why this is so significant, right? That may not seem very significant right now in your mind, but think about what is actually happening when we talk to God. We have been granted access to God. We don't need some kind of special pass. We don't need a priest, right? We can talk to God directly. Many of you know that I like golf. It's my favorite sport because, you know, I'm cool like that, right? So entertaining. Some of you, you know, ask me, well, how can you watch golf on TV? It's so boring. But I hear some people say they watch fishing on TV. I mean, give me a break. So it's not the most boring, right? But growing up as a kid, I grew up in South Georgia, not too far from here, and we used to come to the Players' Championship. So we used to go there a good bit growing up as a kid. And I remember I used to see those sky boxes or whatever they call them, you know, the big suites on the big grandstands at the top where people were sitting, and it would overlook the 17th green there or the tee box, and it was so, you know, cool. I thought it was so neat that people were way up there in those private suites getting to watch the golf tournament, and I always wondered what it would be like, and I always thought it would be so cool to be up there. Well, a couple years ago, my father-in-law actually had a pass that someone had given him, and so we actually got to go up in one of those suites, and I thought, you know, hey, I was like, it's pretty cool, right? Here's my pass. I'm important. You know, I pretended to be important. And I went up there in the suite. And the funny thing was, it really wasn't that cool. I actually thought it was kind of lame. And so it would have been a lot cooler to just kind of stay out amongst the common folk there on the ground where I was used to being. But I thought I was so cool that I had access to that special privilege. And I think that we think about prayer and we think about approaching God and we think of it as just something so normal that maybe we trivialize it or don't think it's that special. But it is so special because we have been granted access. We have been given a pass, so to speak, free pass, a free ticket, if you will. We have been granted access to God the Father. And I want you to think about that because here's what that means. We should not have that privilege. We should not be allowed to even talk to Him because He is so holy. He is perfectly holy. He is without sin and cannot be in the presence of a sinful creature like us. So why in the world should we have any ability or capability to talk to this holy Creator God who created the universe and all things and created us? Because we've rebelled against Him. And so because of our own sin, we have been restricted. We have been not allowed. We have been barred from speaking and communicating and having a relationship with God. But the good news is that Jesus, God Himself, God in the flesh, came to earth and lived the perfect life of holiness that we can't live. He did that as our substitute. And then He died the death that we should have died. He died in our place to pay the penalty of sin. And then He rose from the grave, showing that God the Father accepted His payment for sin. And Jesus is alive today, seated on the throne in heaven. And so now through Christ, we have special direct access to God. But not only does Jesus give us this initial access to God the Father, but He continues to intercede for us. Jesus Himself, His work, right, on the cross gave us initial access to God. But do you know what He's doing now? It's not like Jesus retired and is done, right? No, He's continuing to work on your behalf. He is continuing to advocate to the Father on your behalf. Romans 8:34 tells us this. Paul said to the church at Rome, he said, "Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us." Right? Present tense. He is interceding for us now, currently. Jesus is continuing to transform you. He's continuing to plead on your behalf to God the Father. How awesome is that? And the Holy Spirit is deeply involved in this process of prayer as well. Paul said a few verses earlier in verses 26 and 27, "Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And He who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God." So look at that. Think about what is actually happening when you pray. When you pray to God, you're addressing God the Father, who hears your prayers, because Jesus is at His right hand interceding on your behalf, and the Holy Spirit is inside of you, prompting you with the words to say. Now you tell me, next time that you're having your cup of coffee in the morning and you say a quick little prayer and don't think much about it, do you see here why we can't take this for granted? Do you see here why we can't underestimate the power of talking to our Creator? Now, what an awesome, special privilege, and what an amazing process that is actually happening when we talk to God. So let's not underestimate. Let's not take this for granted. This is why prayer is so powerful. Because look, the whole Trinity is involved in the process. I want us to look again, though, at Romans 8:27. At the end of that sentence, Paul tells us that the Holy Spirit, He prompts us with the right words to say, and He intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. So sometimes we don't know what we should pray. Sometimes we don't know what words we should use or even what to say to God. You ever been there? We all have. But thank God we have the Holy Spirit who prays and prompts us to pray according to the will of God. And I think that phrase is so important because here's the deal. You see, our hearts are inclined to not seek the will of God, right? Because of our own sin, our natural inclination is to live for our own interests, right? So we're a very me-centered mentality. That's what we have. We're me first. So we think about what makes us comfortable, and that's what we pursue. We think about what will give us success, and that's what we pursue. We think about what we need to feel happy, and that's what we pursue. But thank God that the Holy Spirit of God intercedes for us according to the will of God, right? You see, this is why we need to come to the Lord in prayer, because our hearts are out of sync with God's. Our hearts do not naturally align with God's heart. So we need to come to Him continually so that the Holy Spirit shapes us and molds our hearts in being to be in sync with His. So because of our sin, our natural inclination is that we are anxious, we're restless, we're pursuing our own selfish agenda, we think we are strong, we think we are powerful on our own. But when you come to God, when you approach the Creator of the universe seated on His holy throne, we come to Him with a humble dependence. Just coming to Him in prayer is a very dependent act. We are admitting to Him that our hearts are not in sync with His, that we do not love Him supremely like we should. And so the Holy Spirit helps us to pray according to His will and not our own. So when we pray, even when we don't know what to say, God is gracious and merciful to us. Even when we pray selfishly sometimes, or we only think about ourselves in our prayers, the Holy Spirit of God is committed to your holiness and sanctification and you growing in Christ's likeness. He is going to align your heart with the will of God the more you pray. That's powerful. As Augustine, the early church father, famously said, our hearts are restless till they find their rest in Thee. And how true is that? Our hearts are restless until we actually find our rest in Christ. And he's just confirming what essentially Paul said in Philippians 4, verse 7, that when we pray, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Guard us from what? Guard us from the lies of this world, that we can live life on our own and that we don't need God. But when we come to the Lord in prayer, peace overwhelms our hearts and our minds. And it's based on truth. It's not just an emotion. It's not just a feeling. It's truth. Jesus is guarding your heart and He's guarding your thoughts with His truth when we come to the Lord in prayer. Prayer is powerful. And so I hope now, I know it took a while, to answer that one question, but what is prayer? Well, it's talking to God, but it is so much more than that. Do you see the power? Do you see what's actually happening when we talk to our Creator? That is very special. Let's not take it for granted. So number two, the second question I think we need to ask today is how often should we pray? How often should we pray? That's a great question. Our core value statement says we pray frequently and specifically. So the key word here is frequently, right? So Philippians 4 verse 6, again, we're kind of taking this verse and focusing in on different aspects of it today. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer, Paul says. So the NIV translation says, in every situation, come to the Lord in prayer. Let your requests be made known to Him with a grateful heart. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, Paul said there to the church at Thessalonica, he said, pray without ceasing. So how often should we pray? Well, I think the answers are right here. In every situation and without ceasing. In other words, there should be a continual rhythm or a consistent pattern of prayer in our daily lives. That's what I believe it's saying here to us. There should be a consistent rhythm, a continual pattern of prayer in our daily lives. And again, you know, this goes back to the why. Why pray? Why is it important? Because we recognize when we pray with the right heart and the right attitude that we are completely dependent on God all the time. Right? We are completely dependent on Him all the time, so we need Him in every situation. We need to pray without ceasing in this continual pattern in our daily lives because we admit that we're dependent. I love the lyrics to the song, "Lord, I Need You," and we're actually going to sing this song at the end of the service today. But these lyrics are spot on as to why we need to set a continual habit and rhythm of prayer in our daily lives. The lyrics say this, "Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you." And I think that's so accurate because that should be the attitude of our hearts. That should be the attitude of our hearts because it's really only this kind of attitude. It's only this kind of humility that Jesus modeled for us Himself. That's the kind of humility that will drive us to pray as often as we should, with this continual pattern, consistent rhythm. I want you to listen closely because I believe the amount of time that we spend praying is directly correlated to how much you think you're dependent on God. Like, it's one thing to say that at church. Oh yeah, I'm dependent on God. But when you get into Monday morning, and when you get to your meeting on Tuesday afternoon, and when the kids are, you know, going crazy on Wednesday night, you see all the patterns of life. The amount of time that you set aside to actually pray and talk to God and participate in this amazing, powerful thing called prayer, the amount of time that you spend in prayer is directly correlated to how much you really depend on Him in your heart. That's so true. I don't think I've ever met anybody who says, you know, I should probably pray less. I pray too much. I don't think I've met a single Christian that would say that. Because we all struggle with this, don't we? And listen, I'll be the first to admit, this is a struggle. It is difficult to discipline ourselves, right? It's difficult to discipline ourselves to do this, to set time aside. But again, I think it all goes back to that heart issue. How much do you really depend on the Lord versus yourself? So we have to get our heart right. And we're not going to do that unless we dwell on the gospel. It goes back to our first core value, right? We keep the gospel first. The more you think about the gospel, the more you'll want to pray. You know why? Because the more you think about the gospel, the more you think about how little you are, how insignificant you are, how sinful you are, but how great God is and how He is trustworthy and He is generous in His grace and His love every day, not just to save you initially, but to continue to transform you by that grace. When you think about the gospel and you thank Him in prayer for it every day, man, that does wonders for your heart. I know it's hard to create rhythms and routines, especially in the world we live in right now. I mean, we can barely make plans at church for what we're going to do next week because we just don't know what's going to happen, right? I mean, I turned on the TV last night and I saw the New York Yankees playing the New York Mets. It was live at Citi Field in Queens. And guys, they had cardboard cutouts of humans in the stands, and they were playing fake fan noise through the stadium. I'm like, this is what has the world come to, okay? This is where we are, people. So my point is, we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, right? We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. We don't know what's going to happen next week. But what we do know is that we must set aside time to approach the Lord in prayer and create these daily rhythms and these daily patterns, no matter what the world's schedule looks like right now or how crazy it is, we need to set aside and discipline the time to seek the Lord in prayer, because it is so powerful, because we truly depend on Him. All right, the third question we need to ask this morning is this: what should we pray about? So we've asked the what, right? What is prayer? We've talked about how often we should pray. Now let's talk about the actual words, the content of our prayers. Notice our core value states we pray frequently and specifically. We want to pray about specific things, okay? So Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 again. Look at some of these key words here. Paul says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything pray. Right? Let your requests be made known to God. So Paul's saying, let's pray about everything, right? In every situation, without ceasing. In other words, let's pray about specific things as opposed to just general repetitive statements or phrases, right? Now listen, I'm not against structured prayer. In fact, I think that when you're teaching your children to pray, it's good to have repetitive phrases to kind of train them to talk to God. That's good and fine. But as adults who are growing in our faith with the Lord, I think it may be a problem if you find yourself, when you do pray, only saying the same phrases over and over, right? Without putting much thought into what you're saying. Jesus warned against this in Matthew 6, verse 7. He said, and when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. So I think a good question to ask is, what specific things should we pray about? Well, again, we've seen now multiple times in Philippians 4, 6 that in every situation about anything, right? But I think the best place to look for an example of the kinds of things we should be praying about is found in the model prayer, the example prayer that Jesus gave to his disciples in Matthew 6. We famously call this the Lord's Prayer, right? So this is an example, this is a model of the kind of prayer, the way we should structure our prayers that Jesus was teaching to his disciples. So in Matthew 6, verses 9 through 13, beginning in verse 9, I want us to kind of break this down piece by piece. Jesus said this in verse 9, pray then like this: our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. All right, so let's stop right there. The first thing I want us to notice is this prayer starts out not talking about what you need that day, right? Now we'll get to that, but that's not how the prayer begins. The prayer doesn't begin with you telling the Lord what you're upset about or complaining or what you're tired of or who you're tired of, right? The prayer does not start out like that. It starts out acknowledging the greatness of God. It starts out talking to God about Him, about Himself, praising Him, thanking Him, approaching God in prayer with a posture of humility like this. And gratefulness will do wonders in your life. Imagine if you started every prayer out just by saying the word, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for loving me. Thank you for dying for my sins. Thank you for giving me grace every day. Thank you that you are committed to my faithfulness to you, that you are endlessly, tirelessly working on my behalf. Thank you, Lord. Now imagine the posture of your mindset and your heart if you began every prayer in this way. And I think the key is understanding that Jesus starts out by saying, pray like this, our Father. Notice he doesn't just say, oh God. He says, no, Father. Just remembering what? The gospel. Again, it's the gospel. That God has adopted you into his family. That you were a sinner and lost and on your way to hell, but Jesus intervened. And he loved you so that he gave his life for you. And he loves you so that he continues to advocate on your behalf. And so you are part of the family of God. You have been given an eternal inheritance. And when you approach God like that every day, dwelling on that greatness and that goodness that is so true, that your identity is not wrapped up in this world, but that it is solid and secure in the name of Jesus. When you approach God like that every day, our Father. And do you see the depth of that statement? The power of that statement. This is how we approach God, Jesus says. He's your Father who graciously loves you. He continues, verse 10, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Notice again, we're not even talking about ourselves yet, right? We're still praying to God, and it's starting to turn transition here more towards the earth, and that's a good thing, where Jesus is teaching us that we should want what's true in heaven to be true on earth. We should pray and submit our lives to Him and His will. So what is true and right at the throne of God, we should want to be true and right in our own minds and our own hearts. And so this part of the prayer teaches us that. Your kingdom come, your will be done in my life, Lord, today, just as it is right now in heaven. That's how I want my life to be. And so I think it's good to be specific here. Remember, we pray frequently and specifically. So let's be specific. Make your requests known to God about everything, anything, whatever you're anxious about. Lord, I have such and such going on today. I've got this going on later today. I have this meeting. I have this phone call. I have this conversation. I'm going to be around that person, and I'm anxious about it. I'm nervous about it. I don't feel good about it, Lord. But let your will be done in this situation. May your kingdom be advanced in the way I handle this conversation and the tone that I set with my words. Do you see how praying? It's amazing how when we pray specifically, how it just, the Philippians 4:7, the peace of God just overwhelms you. It's like your anxiety and your pride both begin to dissipate because you're being specific to a God who is in control of your specifics, right? Think about that. So be specific with your needs to God that His will be done in every situation. Spend more time thanking and praising God and watch your pride and your anxiety dissipate. Jesus continues, verse 11. He says, give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. See, now we're asking God for our needs. And God wants us to do that, right? He's our Father. He wants us to approach Him as a child approaches you as a parent and say, can I have this, Lord? May I have this in my life? I need this need. I have this need for food or health, and I want to serve you in this way through this blessing. I think that is absolutely appropriate for us to ask God for the needs, to provide us for our needs. He wants us to ask Him. That's a good thing. He wants us to show our dependence on Him continually. And one way we do that is by asking Him to provide. Verse 12, Jesus continues. He says, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. So I think one of the keys here to understand is that we confess our sins to God when we pray. Right? There should be a part of our prayer where we come to the Lord and we just tell Him how we have strayed, how we have not loved Him supremely in our hearts, in our minds, this day or this week. And we confess and we're just honest to God about our struggles. And as He has forgiven us, that motivates us to forgive others. Jesus continues, look at verse 13. He says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Lead us not into temptation, Lord, but deliver us from evil. I think this is a prayer to continue holiness in our life. Pray for continued holiness. Pray that the Holy Spirit, Lord, continue to transform me by your goodness and your grace. Continue to rid my life of any sin that may hinder me. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a steadfast spirit within me, as David prayed in Psalm 51. It's this continual dependence and humility of confession and prayer for sanctification and righteousness. What a beautiful thing to pray to the Lord. So this is the model. This is the example. What should we pray about? What should the content of our prayers be? If you're ever confused, just go to Matthew 6. Jesus gives us this example, and the Holy Spirit will enlighten our minds and our hearts to His truth as we read this scripture and as we pray through it. So here at Kernan, we want to be a people who pray. We want to talk to our Creator who rules over this whole universe, and we want to trust Him and be grateful for this amazing privilege we have, this direct access we have. But we also want to be a people who pray frequently. We want to pray frequently in a consistent pattern and rhythm in our daily lives, coming to Him in dependence. We also want to pray specifically. We want to praise God and thank Him for who He is and what He's done about everything on our hearts and minds. We want to make our request known to God. What a privilege and honor it is to pray. Well, this time I'm going to ask our staff to come up on stage. We're going to have a special time of prayer this morning. I think it's only right for us to conclude the service in this way and actually pray specifically. We're going to pray about four specific things as a church, and the staff's going to lead us. So I want you, and those of you watching at home, join us in prayer. I want you to pray to yourself silently to the Lord as our staff leads us in these areas and these different topics that concern the vision of our church moving forward. I want us to pray specifically this morning. Pastor Jeremy is going to lead us to pray for our adults and our community groups, which are underway now and going well, and we're excited about the future and how God's going to shape our church through our community groups. So Pastor Jeremy is going to pray for that. Pastor Jonathan is going to pray for our kids and our students and our parents and the mindset here at Kernan of family discipleship, where families are serious about growing up their kids to love the Lord. Kyle's going to pray for our worship here at Kernan moving forward, that we become a church that worships with authenticity in everything we do. And I'm going to close us out by praying for the unity of our church in this place, but also that we are unified in our mission going outside of these walls to share the name of Christ to Jacksonville and beyond. So would you pray with us? Don't just listen. I want us to pray together. So pray with us as we pray specifically for these things. Pastor Jeremy.
Father God, we do come before You humbled by Your love that You have for us, God loving us enough to send Jesus to die for us. God, we thank You for Your mercy. Thank You for Your amazing grace. God, we thank You for the gift of prayer that You allow us to communicate with You. God, I do want to pray right now for our community groups. God, I pray that You would just anoint them. God, I pray that as we learn together, as we serve together and live life together, God, that we would do it in a way that is not prideful or boastful about what we're doing or accomplishing, but God, that we are doing it in a way that brings honor and glory to You. God, I pray that if there is one here today that is not part of a community group, God, I pray that You will convict them to be part of this small body of believers. God, just to be plugged in, to walk together with each other, Lord, to encourage one another, to minister alongside of one another, and just to encourage through this difficult seasons of life that we go through. God, I do thank You for the importance of community groups, God, that we do have the privilege to worship together and to walk with other believers. God, I know that You have commanded us to go and make disciples. God, I pray that through our community groups, we will be discipled and that we will also disciple others. So God, I pray for this ministry, God, that we will be able to not only connect with one another, not only to bring You honor and glory, but God, to take it outside the walls of the church and to really make an impact in our surrounding area, God, with our neighbors, in the city of Jacksonville, even the state of Florida and across this nation, and even worldwide. God, I pray that You will just lead us, guide us, and direct us. in the direction that we go with each and every community group. In Jesus' name we pray.
Lord, we just thank you for these moments that we get to have. And Lord, we most of all praise you that we are a people who do not pray without hope, because our hope is found in you, God, most of all. And we pray just for just our families, our family ministry here at Kernan. Lord, we pray for our kids as they are just going through it's one of the strangest times of all of our lives, but just as a new normal is beginning to beckon as we see the reopening of schools, God, and we pray for our kids and their safety. We pray for students and teachers and just so many that, God, that there's so many decisions to be made. God, we just pray for faithfulness and also just health. And Lord, we just thank you just that at Kernan we get to be a part of seeing the generations come to know you and to love you and to follow you all of their days. We pray for the parents that they would be strong and just brave to boldly proclaim the gospel to their kids every day, and that their actions would show the gospel and demonstrate the gospel every day, God. And we thank you just for all you have done. And may we continue to honor you in everything we do.
God, we come before you today humbled that we get to speak with you one-on-one in prayer, God. And we are humbled that we are able to come together and worship you. God, I pray for this congregation as we move forward. I pray that you would fill our hearts with a desire to worship you and worship you authentically, worship you in a meaningful way, God, that would make you smile. And I just pray for us during this time, God, of uncertainty and change. And even as we're apart, some of us are worshiping from home, God, I pray that we would feel a connection as we worship together, even while we're apart, God. And as we leave this place from corporate worship, God, I pray that Sunday mornings of worship is a catalyst to empower us to worship throughout our week and day to day and everything that we do, whether it's work or school or home with our families, God. I pray that we would find opportunities to worship you all week long, not just on Sunday, God. And be with us as we progress and get things back to normal, God. I pray that we would be energized for a passion of authentic worship.
Lord, we just thank you first and foremost for who you are. We thank you that for the privilege, Lord, of just being able to be called your children and the body of Christ, the family of God. So, Father, I pray that as we pursue this vision that you've given us, that this would be more than just words on paper or more than just some kind of strategy. God, that this would be truth from your word, guidance from your spirit deep in our hearts and minds, and that you would shape this church into who you want us to be. And Lord, it's not going to be easy, and it's going to have to happen in steps, but Lord, that's the sanctification process. We want to make progress as we go, Father. But we can't do that unless we admit our humble dependence constantly, every hour, every second on you, Lord. So Jesus, would you keep our church united around this great truth, the gospel, our necessity for it, and the power that's in it, and the grace that you show us constantly, Lord, that transforms us into who we need to be. Keep us united. Keep us together, rallying around this great truth, around our great God. Lord, I pray that you would let us not only look inwardly, but that as we are united around your goodness and your grace and yourself, that we would be motivated to passionately reach this world, reach this city, reach our communities, our workplaces, our homes, our neighborhoods, wherever we go, wherever we have any kind of influence, Jesus, that we would truly be a faithful witness, a faithful ambassador in your name for your glory, and that you would draw people to yourself. Jesus, that your word would go forth, that your kingdom would advance around us because you're working in and through us. But Lord, let us constantly come to you in prayer, admitting our humble dependence and how we need you to do this, Lord. We do not have the power. Jesus, we need you. And I pray that you would work greatly through us. And we love you and we thank you for this amazing privilege to have access to you, to talk to you. Let us never take it for granted. We love you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for watching, those of you online at home. We miss you and we love you and we can't wait until we're all back together soon. If you have any questions, feel free to email us at info@kernanchurch.com. We would love to speak with you and set up a time to meet with you about any questions you may have about salvation, baptism, becoming a member here at Kernan. And that's true for everyone here in person today. If you have any questions about what it means to walk with the Lord or being baptized or joining our church, I would love to help you think through those things, and our staff would love to talk with you as well. Feel free to find one of us. I'll actually be in the cafe, which is just out these front doors to the left. I'll be there. So if you're a first-time guest with us, I would love to meet with you and talk with you more and get to know you better. Thank you so much for being here this morning. Kyle's going to close us out with a song. Y'all have a great week.